This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to Lock and Key Unlocked, a podcast about Lock and Key on Netflix, as well as the comic books by Joe Hill. There we go. And Gabriel Rodriguez. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about the season two finale of Lock and Key titled Cliffhanger. So if you haven't watched it, go watch it because spoilers ahoy. But big,
ahoy?
Big moves happen in this episode. Huge things.
This was so stressful. What a stressful watch. The first half of this episode was not easy.
Well, they essentially, what they do, not completely, but they wrap up the story from the first two seasons in this episode, which is something, as a comic book fan, I certainly didn't expect in any way. Though I think, Justin, you correctly predicted at least part of it in the last podcast episode, so you saw it coming. You prognosticated it. But
You watched ahead, you fucking cheater.
I did not, and I would not do that, and I would especially not with an episode this emotional could I have just casually predicted what was going to happen like an ice-cold monster. I would have been sobbing.
So the big events that happen in this episode is they finally take the fight to Dodge at Gabe's stronghold. The house collapses around him, but ultimately Tyler is able to unlock Dodge and Gabe, eliminating the demon there, freeing Lucas Echo to be alive. We also get Ellie gets turned back from her Dodge form. This episode reunites with Rufus. And by the end of the episode, all the locks are in very different places. Bodhi has offered up the memory key to Nina. Tyler has decided not to use the memory key and instead going on a road trip with his best friend, Gracie, the car. Last but not least, we get a huge cliffhanger here as Eden releases an echo of Captain Frederick Gideon, who, if you remember, was also infected with a demon back in the day. He kills Eden and leaves. And that's where we're left at the end of the episode, teeing up season three, which has already been filmed, mind you. So it is coming. There's no questions there.
Oh, wow. Is it coming tomorrow?
God, I hope so. I need it right now.
The next
now.
Day.
Yeah, yes. I need it.
Yesterday? Is it already on?
Let's get back to watching.
Before we get into specifics about the episode, I do want to talk about the season as a whole, now that it is in the rearview mirror. And as I intimated earlier, for comic book fans, this is huge. They've essentially, with some exceptions here, gone through the first six volumes of the comic book, i.e. all the stuff that we have in the present at the current moment. There's still more material potentially to adapt out of those books, as well as the Golden Age books that go back in time. And there's a little bit coming down the road in terms of World War Key is something that Joe and Gabriel have been working on for a very long time.
That seems intense.
Talking about for a very long time. Though apparently season three is going to be none of that stuff. It's going to be entirely original. So that's going on. But regardless, we wrapped up the Dodge Gabe story here. How'd you feel about all of it?
All right. Well, first off, there was like eight questions in that. I mean, let's slow it down a little bit.
Let's have the question key so we can unlock Alex bit here.
I got a lot of questions.
So I first off, I'm just as excited as you are. A lot happened this episode. As a season overall, thought it was.
Can I just interrupt for a second? I know I've gone too far when Pete is like, can you calm down a little bit?
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's huge. Exactly. The voice of reason down here? No, I don't think so.
As the season as a whole was really exciting. I, as someone who held the kind of source material very highly, I was impressed with the way they kind of walked the line of giving the readers a little bit, but also doing new things and kind of exploring this as a new medium and not holding too close to it where it would, kind of feel like one of the, this felt like its own thing, grew out of something great. And I had a lot of fun this whole season. There was a lot of really cool moments overall. And I was very happy and impressed and thought it was a great season.
Justin, what about you?
I mean, so good. And the way they structured the season was great. We didn't have a lot of like wasted episodes in the middle where it was just like, here's some stuff we're building toward the end of the season. They went hard, had a huge climax in the middle of the season where the Locke family was truly at their nadir. They were in the lowest position they could be. At the same time that Gabe and Eden, who we were following for most of the first half of the season, before we transition to following the locks as they go from the bottom all the way up to this episode where they fight the fight and win here in a way that I could not see coming. And then we get the reveal of a villain that maybe is scarier and less easily manipulated than Dodge. And as the song is playing at the end, Bring the Lion Out.
Oh,
this is going to be a real problem coming down.
Yeah, it's going to be a real problem.
It's going to be a real problem.
Yeah, like you touched on, I just always appreciate Gopher Broke storytelling. It's harder to do when you're leaving it all on the table, you know, rather than going, oh, we got a 5-season plan and we're walking towards the 5-season plan. Here, it felt like, and I think something we've talked around quite a bit over the course of these 10 episodes, is that Gabe, almost purposely so, is compromised as a villain, right? Like, he has his feelings for Kinsey. He's not making the best plans. Eden is smarter than him about this stuff, but even she is very reckless when she goes forward. So it would have been easier, I think, to figure out a way like, ooh, they escape the building at the end and what's coming on, and then they're going to attack everybody in season 3. But it's much smarter and better to wrap up their stories, to have them have this end here, and then move forward with this bigger bad that we're going to have, which is exciting.
You know, I don't know about all that. Like, you know, you're judging it and making it seem like, you know, it's something. I, as someone who's just kind of enjoying the content that I'm getting.
Oh, real man of the people over here.
We should interrupt. You, Pete, the underlying thing here, I think, is you're upset because since the very first episode of the show, you were a Kinsey shipper, Gabe and Kinsey. And now that's never going to happen.
And this is a breakup. This is a big breakup.
This is huge.
I'm
starting to think maybe they're not endgame.
I just think it was what was crazy about the comic and something that, like, there was this thing of, like, who's safe, who is going to be okay. And the fact of, like, they pulled that well move at the end that even somebody who has read I was like, holy, you know, like, this was such a crazy move to kind of put right at the end of the season. I was very impressed with it and very kind of like, you know, I didn't have this academic of like, okay, whatever you were saying. But I just think that, like, nobody's safe. Even in this kind of like, we were nicer to Nina than in the comic books, it's still like this creepy kind of like holy shit factor that made the comic so great. They took it soft a little bit in some spots in the show, but then that move really kind of ratcheted things up to be like season 3 is going to be fucking insane.
That sounds a lot like some pretty hoity-toity criticism you're dropping, Pete. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're knocking Alex when you're sitting on top of your ivory tower just as well.
Yeah, and Justin, I just wanted to thank you for bringing your street smarts to this otherwise book smart podcast.
Exactly. I'm sort of a bare knuckle television observation where I just don't pull any punches. Crack, that was a well-filmed. Bang, an emotional scene.
Mm-hmm.
And the other little asterisk here is I have a pretty strong suspicion that we haven't seen the last of Gabe and Eden on this show. I don't think they're necessarily going to come back as the big bads, but first of all, I interviewed them for work, and when I asked them, will you potentially be back, or are you dead, like it says in the press notes?
Oh, and just so you should be wondering, what does Alex do for work, if you don't know? He works in a bean factory, and they happened to be touring the bean factory, and he stopped and interviewed them.
I mean, we have stars come through the bean factory all the time, wondering, how do you make the beans? How do you
Yeah, people love beans.
Baked beans.
We get it. Beans are great.
Yeah, Griffin Gluck, who plays Gabe, is actually going to be in a biopic of the guy who invented cans of beans forward. Mr. Bean, of course.
Sure.
Oh, I don't know if you've done all your research on that.
This is bad. I just work here.
I'd like to hear the person who invented cans specifically of beans. He took the great invention, the can, and was like, what if we put beans in it?
Yeah, you got all these empty cans here. You've invented empty cans. What if we put beans in them, I say.
What if we put beans in them?
So I talked to them, and normally when it's like you're dead on a show, you're like, yeah, that's it. It was really, I had a great time on this show, but that's it for me. Very excited to watch it as a fan going forward. Even if you're trying to keep it secret that maybe you're going to be back in some surprise capacity, that's the typical line that people say. Both of them were like, Griffin Glux very specifically just sort of waggled his eyebrows at me, and it was like, try transcribing that. And then Halia Jones said, well, we'll see, ... added the information that she was on our live show a couple of months back, and I believe she was like, look forward to filming season 3. So there's ways of bringing them back. There's the identity key.
Definitely.
You can come, they can come back as echoes. They could be henchmen for Frederick Gideon. So even though they are dead, I think there's ways of seeing them again.
Dead. I mean, you know, Eden died off panel. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, she could definitely be alive. And also the way that this ends, bringing back a historical figure, I feel like we might get a key from the comics, the time shift key, which allows people to observe the past. And I think that could really play in.
So why don't we talk about some specific moments in the episode, and
yes,
assume we'll
please
come back to season three speculation after that. Pete, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to circle back around something that Justin mentioned. We have this beautiful shot of the kind of like what we think is maybe Dodge kind of walking down the street at night, and it's like this creepy, magical, amazing thing. And then you see her walking in the yellow house. And my first thought was like, nobody's there. I don't know why you're going there. Like, they all moved out. Like, oh, I don't know who you expect to see. And this slow kind of like reveal that it's Ellie was just such an emotional, crazy, like, holy shit moment that I wanted to know, like, when did you guys know who it was? At what point?
I guess the very first moment, the very beginning.
Yeah.
You knew it right away.
Well,
we
the
did
way
talk
that
about the, it on the last episode of the podcast, so I think that's what I do.
But let me say, like, I agree with you. That was a very cool shot, and it was framed like a horror shot, to your point.
Yeah,
Pete,
exactly.
So it definitely was meant
light
to be like
behind her. It was creepy and beautiful.
And just the first sort of third or maybe like quarter of the episode had so much horror in it, and I thought that was awesome. Like a show that has built so much character tension, emotional tension between these people, and then to go full on like horror visuals, I thought was awesome. When Matuku shows up bringing Nina home, like the whole thing was terrifying and awesome.
Oh, when he leaned in, oh my god, that was
well.
Just
and
crazy.
I also really, and I understand the utility of not having her there, but I really missed Layla de Oliveira, who plays Dodge. She's great.
She's so good.
Very good villain. We have that quick
right
shot
out of the comic books, it feels like.
Totally.
And the comic version of her was so creepy and amazing. Who plays is just killing it.
And even though it doesn't exactly totally make sense that Gabe's like, well, I'm going to turn into Dodge now for this final battle, I still appreciated it because it worked for Vivi visually, because she is way more threatening than Gabe ever was.
Well, let me throw this out. That first off, that shot was awesome. I mean, the fact that they had the elevator played so hard into the final battle, I thought was sort of funny and great. But the scene worth it for the identity key going into Gabe as the door closes and then the door opening on Dodge. Such a great visual idea. But I do think, I know you're saying it was more of like a production or actor choice there, but I think Dodge would be like, I'm going to go fight Tyler. I will have an edge if I'm Dodge. He doesn't care about Gabe, but there was a relationship there. As I've stressed a lot, it must be weird for Tyler and Kinsey to have both, you know, had something going.
Come on, would you stop with that?
Why aren't we talking about that?
Yeah,
well,
Tyler,
I think that's maybe one of the reasons that Tyler drove away. He got away. He was like, I can't.
But yes, I thought that was so cool. I mean, let's talk more about that battle in a sec. But to talk about Ellie, I think sort of the Ellie stuff was really just a win. Like, there wasn't a lot of underlying drama here, or like nothing bad came of it for a change. Like, Ellie shows up, we do the key test with Bodhi, which I thought was great. And then we just get this great, her identity changes. And then we get this truly emotional reunion with Rufus. I was like,
oh,
I'm crying.
Dude,
something. her before the Rufus thing was great and really like brought tears to my eyes.
Oh my God. I was
the
bawling.
Lucas thing was great too, because Ellie's whole arc is that she went to the well house. She couldn't live without Lucas. It was weighing on her for so long. She brought him back. And that's what caused pretty much all of this. Like not all of it, because he was infected with the demon to begin with and they made the mistake and killed him. But her bringing him back is the thing that set off this chain of events. And to see the pure Lucas without the demon attached and see them reconnect, I thought was really beautiful too.
I also like the Bodhi moment where he's like, yeah, we met when you were a demon.
Yeah. And also
the fan.
The way when Lucas appears there, I was like, I don't know what they did, but I was like, that's an echo. That feels like an echo. And it was just like a normal shot of an actor. And I was like, they did. That's an echo right there. Like, it was just awesome.
Did you buy the explanation of what happened in terms of unlocking, killing the Gabe Dodge demon and then leaving just Lucas as an echo?
Yes. Okay. Because there's no, in an echo, there's no blood to be spoiled by whispering demon transformational iron. So I totally buy that Lucas just emerged and Dodge melted away into nothing.
Yeah, I agree. I just, there was a moment there where I was like, wait, what?
Conspiracy. Yeah.
But I think it worked out, and it is purely Lucas. The stuff with Ellie, like we mentioned, was great. Reuniting with Rufus was great as well.
The Rufus, like when they went to the like him slow motion running, I was fucking losing my mind. The actor playing Lucas just killed that. That was so beautiful, so amazing, like, oh, just unbelievable.
Now, the other thing, though, which we talked about in the last episode, is are we going to find out what happened to Ellie Dodge, potentially? Because she is not chock full of demons like we talked about. She seems fine.
Yeah. I have some questions. Everyone talks about being in the demon place and it being, like, pretty shitty. She comes out pretty chill, and no one's like, hey, did you talk to the demons? Are you, like, a demon?
Spent a lot of time in the demon verse. Like, how was that?
Yeah, if like every weekend I was down at like the Hell's Angels bar, I think you'd be like, hey, man, what's up? And I'm like, nothing, just hanging out.
All good.
Chill.
Yeah, I would respect your privacy.
Yes, me too.
Cool.
Very cool. Let's jump over and talk about Tyler's arc a little bit, because that feels like one of the big arcs, not just of the episode, but also of the season, where we do ultimately get him first reacting to the death of Jackie at the beginning, pushing off Nina, being the one who ultimately unlocks Dodge and saves the day, and then at the end rejecting the memory key and driving off on his own. So how'd you feel about this arc, and what moments jumped out to you in particular?
Well, also, I also like the Tyler kind of hat moment where he was like, it seemed like thinking about his dad and kind of having a moment. I thought that was also really beautiful. But yeah, I think it's Tyler really kind of paying homage to Jackie and what she was saying about growing up. And also, like, you know, after all that, I could see, like, I need some space to think about some things before I can kind of make any big decisions. So, like, you know, sometimes you got to just ride off in your sweet, unbelievable, gifted car that someone spent a lifetime rebuilding and just is going to hand over to you. I loved it. And I could have used more shots of the car and then him driving in it.
Next season is just going to be Tyler.
Oh, I hope it's a road trip season.
Yeah, Life is a Highway playing 45 minutes 10 times in a row.
On repeat.
Finally, the show everyone wants, regular keys. Lock and regular keys.
Yeah.
This one goes to my apartment.
What did you think about Tyler's arc, Justin?
I thought it was great. I thought the emotional moments we get at the top where he truly just can't even speak. Tyler's there at the ambulance. Just like that guy, that hit me so hard. And then the way that you see Tyler fighting so hard and sort of emerging through this, like they're an absolute strike team in this battle with Gabe. And we should talk about that a little bit more specifically, I think. But then he comes out and I think he feels like his dad. I think he feels like he is sort of really wrestled with the idea of his father. And he's like, I need to wander for a bit. I need to get away from this to get some perspective. But my prediction is, like, he watches the Jackie. First off, he watches the Jackie video and deletes it. Like, he's ready to move past all of this. And that was a video that he made for to try to help Jackie, and to have him watch that now and see how much has changed. That's not what we're calling it.
That's what it's called.
To have him watch it now was so upsetting, and delete it, and he's moving on. My prediction, season 3 will kick off with Tyler returning from his road trip to find Key House very changed.
Or, better idea, it starts with him on the road trip, and then we get him coming back home. You know what I mean?
Like, he's going to really come back in a more sensible car, like a Hyundai Cilantro.
Go fuck yourself.
A Hyundai Cilantro? Is that what you said?
Yeah, Hyundai Cilantro?
I don't think that's a car. Some people, when they drive a Hyundai Cilantro, it tastes like dirt to them. But that's like a genetic thing.
Yeah. Cilantro. You don't know anything about cars. You should be giving me your car keys. You're not allowed to have it.
I don't have
it. I know about other cars. Name modern cars all sound the same and look the same. So,
yeah. Oh, my God. That's ridiculous.
Well, name a sensible sedan, Pete.
Honda Accord. VW Jetta.
Fancy. Fancy over here.
Cars and dogs, man. I can't tell them apart. I'm sorry. Anyway.
You can't tell cars apart from dogs?
I keep trying to drive dogs.
That's not good. That's good thing you live in New York City where you don't have to drive.
Yeah. That's going to get
a real
trouble.
Issue. Yeah.
Hey, buddy, can you pull out? I'm trying to park my dog. Anyway, yes, we should talk about the big battle. Why don't we do that now since we keep bouncing around it? What did you think about this epic confrontation? In particular, wild to me that it happened in the middle of the episode, like about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But I loved that because it went hard and fast into it. And then I was like, oh shit, it's on.
It's on.
And it just caught me off guard in a way that I think made it all the more exciting. I love the use of the angel key as a reveal here was great. Kinsey's plan as a distraction worked in two ways. First, the emotional way that Gabe's like, oh, she just killed herself. I'm upset. And then she reveals that she had found a new key and is attacking them before they even realize that there was a whole attack coming from Tyler and Duncan and Scott. And great. And the moment I just want to highlight before I turn it back over to you, when Scott turns on the Hercules key and starts wrecking shop, I was like, that I teared up just out of excitement there. That was so dope.
I wanted kind of like the kind of like Gabe Kinsey, like, hey, you know, like how they kind of do that when they see each other at spooky, weird times. Like the use of that in the last episode was just so like when I think it was one of the minions talking to him and it's like Kinsey. He's like, yeah, Kinsey. And he's like, no. Kinsey's here and
Matuku.
Was like, hey, like just so great.
I love the fact that Gabe had no questions about how Kinsey got on his balcony out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And we do get the reveal later that it's the angel key, but he's so focused on her. He's not thinking about anything else. Like we mentioned before, she is 100% his weakness. I like the line where he says he still has a human soul here because I feel like that provides a lot of retroactive explanation for how he has been acting over the course of the season. He's not pure demon. He does care about her in a certain way. But this is also very important as Kinsey's hero moment, bringing together her arc, not just from this season, but I think both seasons. Her stepping up, like we've talked about, she finally has her fear again. She is a whole human being. She's able to step up and become a hero here, and a total badass. Taking the crowd of shadows, using that, taking down
But
Dodge.
Also the reality of, like, you know, she puts it on, has a badass moment in the house, and she immediately loses it.
Yeah, but
like,
they're still kids. They're still kids. Exactly. Like, they're not a team of elite military personnel. They're still, like, fighting demons, and they don't exactly know what they're doing.
Did you just plug elite military personnel in the middle of our podcast? That was weird.
This week's podcast is brought to you by Elite Military Personnel. If you're looking for military personnel who are not your regular types, but in fact top tier, check out Elite Military Personnel at Elite Military Personnel.
Apply directly to SEAL Team 6. They are taking interns.
Yeah, you could just walk right in and sign up for SEAL Team 6.
To your point, Alex, Kindy is like screaming, "You want to fight? Let's fight!" Like a kid in the middle of a fist fight. The same way that she did when she was fighting Eden, I thought was really cool.
Yeah,
great stuff. Now, what about Bodhi? We should talk about Bodhi and what's going on with him in this episode. He's mostly stuck at home again and out of the main fight, which is a bummer.
Yeah, super heartbreaking.
But I did love his scene at the end with Nina. I thought that whole sequence.
Beautiful.
Nina's arc, finding her completely at a loss, not knowing what to do, Bodhi understanding that and using the idea that Tyler has given up his memory to put Nina in a position where she can accept it and she could be part of this circle, and giving her that gift, that beautiful scene with Rendell with the cinnamon buns.
So good.
Well, and it also, I'll note, it shows a tremendous amount of restraint that this is, I think, the first time that we've seen Rendell all season long. They've talked about him here and there, but he hasn't been as strong of a presence as he was in season one. So giving us that poignant moment at the end with Dina and Rendell makes it all the more powerful because we haven't seen him in a good long while.
And well, also, and the Bodhi asking Nina, like, was it a good memory? And it was the memory of him. Oh.
Yeah,
just kills me.
For Nina, a character that has sort of been long-suffering this season, and for the show to build the season to – this is sort of the climax. This is the emotional climax of this episode and the season. We got rid of – we moved past all the fight stuff, all the stuff you expect to be at the end of a season. And this is actually where they spend their time and emotional effort here and really take their time with this moment. Like, she walks around and gets to – touch a lot of stuff. It really takes some time. I thought it was really – I was surprised they went that way, but, like, I thought it was so successful. I'm so gratified they did. And the sort of the weird, like, him singing Three is a Magic Number, these, like, hyper-specific character moments for Rendell. And he's such a figure that, like the Locke kids, we revere, even though we don't – like you're saying, we don't know him hardly at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't want to miss, like, some of the – I want to circle back to the action stuff, but I think it was one of those things where kind of like all season you're seeing Nina kind of be shoved aside by her family and like, we got to put her somewhere so we can go battle this. And the fact that like Bodhi, who is the voice of reason in this show, is like, no, I've got to kind of give my mom at least a chance or give her some kind of like, things here that we all benefit from, but we're excluding her from. So it was nice to see that it was like, hey, let's do right by moms here finally. So to kind of really make it like everybody's in on what's happening, I thought was something that was overdue and super powerful.
I did like the idea that Bodhi went up to his mom and was like, hey, mom, stick this key in the back of your neck. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
All right. We'll see what happens, I guess.
You know, and works, also my no warning, like it's going to make the creepiest fucking noise and probably feel like the worst thing you've ever felt.
Yeah. How does it feel? They don't talk about that because I cringe every time that happens, not just because of the sound. It feels like it jabs directly into your spine, probably gives you screaming pain. And then you're like, oh,
no,
now
I
can
it's
walk
just
in
weird.
My head.
It's like putting a chopstick in Jell-O.
That is so weird. Terrible. Why?
That's
terrible.
What I think.
Oh my god, that was just too much.
It's like if there was a human tooth inside a big Jell-O, and you were using a chopstick to just try to get it out.
I do really like this key showdown that we get, where it's like, what can be?
Sorry, just real quick question. In that scenario, are you trying to get the tooth out so you can eat the Jell-O still, or?
You're trying to get the tooth out to put back in your mouth so that you can then really nosh on some Jell-O.
Yeah, you need teeth for
nosh
Jell-O.
And some
that's,
J.
That's rolled out.
When I say I'm noshing some J, it means I'm eating Jell-O.
Anyways, yeah, so, you know, the only thing that can really take down the chains key is the super vine key. So I thought that was a fun kind of like showdown of badass keys there. And I was excited that we got the chain key and the vine. I did, at the end of the episode, I really wanted like a key count. Like I wanted everybody to be like, okay, what do we got? Because there was like a satchel of keys passed back. And I was like, I need to know what's in that bag.
Need it, got it. Need it, got it.
Is the chain key in there? Because that's like
well, we know it seems like, and maybe this was just easy visual shorthand, but it seems like the only keys the locks have at this point, I guess, though this doesn't seem accurate, are the Alpha key, the Omega key, and the Demon key, because that's what Tyler hands to Kinsey.
I think they have those are just the important keys. And let me just say, let's just break that Demon key up into pieces. Like, we don't need to keep
that. Don't need that.
Only problematic. But I think they have all the keys. I guess maybe Dodge died with the plant
key. They didn't have the ghost key. Eden had that.
No, Eden has the Echo key and the Anywhere key, which they did a good job a couple of episodes back where Gabe was like, taking the Echo key, and he put it in the thing. And I was like, oh, that's funny. And then it's, of course, Eden ends up with the two keys that can really cause the most problems for the world going forward.
Now, before we get back to the ending, I do want to talk about Duncan a little bit, because he had a big arc over the course of the season. And I really felt they did a nice, relatively subtle job of bringing it to a close by having him be the one who can control the Demon key ultimately, because he realizes his blood was used to make the key. He can control the demons with his voice. And his whole arc was going from not having his memory, not having any power, not having any control over his own life, to having control over others. And that brings it to a nice emotional close.
Yeah, that was super key information that got revealed right at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was definitely like alpha to the Omega key information.
Yeah.
They planted it there, and then they matchsticked it up with what happened on screen.
Yeah, he truly was the angel in this key situation. I thought that was such a cool moment and such a surprise. And I love that they didn't spend a lot of time with him being like, I feel connected to them or something. Yeah, he was just like, stop. Oh, I think I can control them because it's my blood in the key. Go get them. And then that's all we do. That's it. We don't have to then go back, explain it or whatever. Like, again, a smart show that knows what information we need and knows what we don't need.
Yeah.
I also liked in that moment that the Demon key had a little pillow that it sat on. Just a sweet little napping place for the Demon key in its little safety safe.
Boop. Just got to put it down on that pillow.
Yeah.
And that's a great spot. If you have a tiny pillow, a great place to keep your teeth if you're making Jell-O, your human teeth. Oh my God. If you're noshing some Jay.
Yeah, noshing Jay. Yeah. We all know.
Yeah.
We could probably talk about Scott real quick, because it turns out he is going to Rochester, which must have been very exciting.
I'll see you there, buddy.
What's the restaurant where they serve garbage plates? What's the famous garbage plate restaurant?
Empire Hots? No, yeah, it's Nick Tahoe's.
Nick Tahoe's.
That was a quick club. I was trying to pick my favorite spot. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like, got you. You thought it was this one thing restaurant you've never heard of. It was another restaurant you've never heard of.
Yeah. Classic Rochester gotcha. You got to gotcha yourself when you're in Rochester.
Well, it's exciting. He is going to learn how to make garbage plates in Rochester. So we should see that pay off, I think, in the next season.
Season three, baby. Live from the Ra-Cha-Cha. Let's do it.
Awesome. And the last person we should probably talk about before we get back to that ending is Hot Josh and everything going on with him.
Evil Josh.
Hot Josh tears up all of his research, which even Eden is like, why are you doing that? That's historical record.
This seems.
And then tries to get back together with Nina, but she does a classic, I choose myself, and it knocks him to the side. He's going to go.
Whoa. First off, okay, Evil Josh is coming back and she's like, cool, that's nice, but you were kind of a fucking dick to me, so like, I need a little time, is smart on her behalf, and don't fucking, you know, give her any slack for that, all right?
He's taking his daughter snowboarding. That's very cool.
He doesn't get points for that.
Snowboarding
is he's been the shitty father for like most of the season.
Opposite of studying history, and it's very cool.
Snow, he unlocked the dad key, the cool dad key, when he's like, let's go, enough of this demon stuff. Let's go snowboarding, James.
Yeah. You know what they say? Those who do not snowboard are doomed to repeat it.
That's true. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know why they say that. It's nonsense. But
I do think Hot Josh is going to be around in season three, is my prediction. And I feel like because his
rid of evil Josh.
It's his ancestor who is going to become the villain here. He will have a factor.
Damn it.
I'll mention when I talked to Meredith Averill, co-showrunner for my day job at the Bean Factory, she came for a tour as well.
Is it tough because Justin's a line producer, so he's the one walking up to you being like, faster, more beans?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a bean line producer.
Yeah, that's right.
It's sad to say that I'm actually a bean counter. Anytime there's a
line, Justin is there to produce it.
Yeah. You should come by sometime, Pete.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah, just hang out. We'll give you a tour.
I love it.
We'll show you how they get into cans, which is great. Pretty cool.
And I'll be like, get in line. I'm trying to produce a line over here. Get in line.
In any case, the main thing that I wanted to mention here is she said the watchword for the next season is family. So to your point, that definitely indicates to me that we're going to get
Josh. You asked her what a watchword would be for the next season?
The phrase watchword. She had told me before season two that the big theme of the season in one word was responsibility, which I absolutely think paid off in terms of how they did the episodes.
You should have told us that. That seems important.
I'm sure I did at some point.
It seems like this is the first time you're mentioning it.
All right. Well, I'm telling you now about season three is all about family. So I think it doesn't just mean the Locks. I think it also means the Gideons and their line leading up to Josh.
And Gracie. Gracie, the newest member of the family.
Gracie, the ancestors of Gracie.
Yeah.
Yep. The old Model T Gracie.
Yeah.
Gracie's grandfather, the bicycle.
A Labrador retriever. They're related, right? Dogs and cars.
Nope. Nope. Nobody
rides dogs. That's in your head.
Okay.
People do ride dogs, though, Pete. I have to stop you there.
I did see a guy when I was coming back from walking the son to school this very morning. He stood with the dog between his legs, and I wanted to be like, what are you doing, riding that dog, buddy? But I didn't know him, so I didn't say it.
You are one comment away from getting in a dad fist fight.
I would have just punched you. I wouldn't have said shit to you.
So, other notes from the episode we should chat about. Obviously, we can talk about speculation for season two based on that ending there, which I know we've touched on a little bit already. But were there any other scenes you wanted to call out or character arcs?
One thing I'm amazed by is how Duncan had time to work on that car when the world was falling apart around him. That car was junk. Like
Sometimes you need something to kind of, you know, work on why the world's falling apart around you, dude. Okay?
Okay. I just think, you know, maybe focus on the game, Dunk.
Well, I'm sure if you walked upstairs, your kids are probably like lighting something on fire right now. You know what I mean? But like you took time to do this podcast. So like, you know.
Are we getting at that?
Wait, are you, is the podcast the car in this situation?
Yes.
I'm Duncan?
Yeah. Yep.
Nice. Hmm. All right, cool. Yeah.
Thanks for fixing up our podcast, by the way.
Yeah, I appreciate it. The time you put in here really makes a big difference.
I can't tell the difference between podcasts and cars now.
Oh, this is rough. Let's talk about the ending, though, and everything that happens with Eden. What are your big theories, if anything, for season three at this point? What do you want to see?
Well, I do think we've got sort of full family, I don't think we're going to see the road trip. I think we're going to come back, Tyler coming back.
How dare you?
And he's going to not know he's in the Nina position now. Potentially, unless I feel like they will unlock him with the memory key. But he's going to come back to a changed family. Things are going to be different no matter what. Maybe Captain Gideon has already been up to some things, or it's something where they're going to find that Captain Gideon has been running rampant. The echo key, I think, is technically still in the door to Wellhouse, right? Mm. So that's going to be a big clue that something happened here. And if they happen to find Eden's corpse, or if Eden crawls out and is like, hey, I made another big mistake. But I like the moment we get at the end of this episode where Eden knows the demon in Gideon. So when it's funny you mentioned family, Alex, maybe there's some demonic family we're going to be connected with as well.
I do think that's something they could get into in a big way in season three, potentially, is we don't know much about that dimension or what is going on there. That could point to, like we've talked about, exactly what happened with Ellie when she was behind the black door, how she was not chock full of demons. So if they know each other, if they have personalities, if they have rankings, seems like he was potentially in charge based on what Eden is talking about. So if there is some sort of hierarchy there, it would be very fascinating to explore that in some way.
Okay, so here's what I would love to see in season three. Okay, first off, you got Bodhi, Jamie, and Lucas all hanging out, like just having a great time, being young kids, you know, just kind of getting into normal trouble. But then you have Kinsey.
Rufus,
yeah, sorry. Okay. And then you have Kinsey visiting Scott in Rochester and having the great time. And, you know, you kind of get a tour of Rochester and cool places to eat around there. And then maybe Tyler just drives by. You know what I mean? Like he kind of like, you know, so we
in
get some
England?
Car shots. Yeah, yeah. He's on a sick road
trip. He takes
his
car to England?
As you would. If you're going to go, you might as well take your car. And then
actually, no one really thinks that.
Yeah, yeah, you know, a lot of people are talking about the tube in England and different.
That doesn't connect to Massachusetts, for one. Two, cars, very different other side of the street, steering wheel on the other side.
Yeah, you drive from, like they film in Nova Scotia, so you can drive from Nova Scotia over to Iceland and Greenland, over to Norway, I think, and then down to the UK.
Yeah.
Just take
that's there's an ice road.
If you
ice
just keep
truckers.
Taking lefts, you'll make it there. That's what
you
Alex
keep
said.
Your hand on the left
yeah,
side.
Yeah. You just kind of just keep turning left, and you can get to England. And then it's just a road trip season where they kind of bounce around all over England together and have a great time. That's what I want to see in season
three.
Oh, and also Nina dates anybody but Evil Josh.
Well, that was the ravings of a madman. Alex, what predictions do you have?
Like I said, I think finding out more about the demon dimension, I think Frederick Gideon is going to be a crazed madman. Like we already know, he is a sadistic human being with a demon in him. It's going to be even worse. But one thing I'm very curious to see that they haven't done yet, like one trick from the book, there's a very big plot point that I'm wondering if they're going to go for. And this is a huge spoiler for the book, so don't listen if you haven't read them. But Bodhi gets infected with the demon who is inside of Dodge. That's most of the final volumes of what happens in Alpha and Omega in the books. We haven't seen that, and we haven't seen any of the Locke
Nor
family.
Do we want to.
It's awful, like absolutely purposely awful and intense and gut-wrenching to watch evil Bodhi. But I wonder if we could get something like that. I don't know. That feels like the next escalation of these demons versus the Locks is one of them infecting a member of the family. That's the worst possible case scenario.
I think that's 100% a great call. And especially the fact that we're alluding to some birds in this season. Birds play a sort of a noticeable role with revealing the angel key and then surprising Dodge from flying in. Like, that bird that flies in and alerts Gabe Dodge that the Locks are about to push him into Wellhouse, I'm like, that's the bird that Bodhi befriends in the comic books.
Yeah.
When he's flying around. So, like, I think that's 100% a great call. I bet we will get that as a plot point. And that is going to be gut-wrenching to see.
Yeah.
I did want to just kind of say, like, as someone who read the books, like, seeing the angel key.
You read the books?
Wow, big admission.
Between the last episode, because last episode we were talking about how you had never read them before. You were coming.
That's not true at all.
So did you just
and
like
while we're confessing, things, I drive the Gracie, the Hyundai Cilantro. I think that's what it is. For many, just to get a feel, because I believe
you shouldn't
in,
be allowed
I'm a
to go near Gracie with that kind of bullshit.
Justin's constantly offering to give me rides back from the bean factory where we both work, and I can't because the car smells like dirt to me.
Yeah, that's great. Anyway, so seeing the angel key. And then, like, Kinsey, Angel Slap Gabe was really just unbelievable, like, just absolutely magical. So it was very, It was very cool to see. There was so many just like in this last episode, so many amazing moments. They really did a great job with this season. It made it rewarding to watch.
Yeah.
Alex came into work the other day and was like, he was late because he saw a car accident, but turns out it was just two dogs bumping into each other.
It was awful. Bunch of dog herdeckers, I like to call them. anyway, before we wrap up here, let's talk about the key moment in the episode. And I guess potentially going forward into season three, what was your key moment in the episode, Justin? Mm.
Great question here. I mean, there's so many sort of on the ground to, but I guess looking forward, I think it's Tyler's choice to not use the memory key to me is a huge one. And I think it's going to make him a bit more of the core protagonist next season. While this season, it felt like Kinsey was sort of where a lot of the action was spinning around. I think next season, him, if it, my prediction is right, him returning to Key House, sort of a different man, a grown up now, not aware of the magic, and having to unlock his memory to save his family, I think will be very exciting to have a season that's fully dedicated to him.
Pete, what about you? Key moment?
I think the key moment is going to be Scott getting the Hercules key. Because, you know, going to college is fun, but having keys to, like, kind of wear and fuck people up with, I don't think you can walk away from that. So I think that it might be Scott might come back home. So I think that's the key moment.
I'm a little torn between two of them. I think bringing back Lucas is a huge moment, which really changes the dynamic for the show going forward in a big way. I'm very excited to see what happens with him. I don't think they'll just be like, well, walking back into the Will House and I won't exist anymore. I think he's going to be sticking around for a while.
Going to go to school maybe. And, you know, in the comic, Lucas and Kinsey date.
Don't put that out there.
That could be a potential. Well, Scott's going to be away, like a distance relationship. I don't know if
Scott's ever away. Come Lucas on. Will play.
That's awful. You're a piece of shit.
And the other one, of course, is bringing back Captain Frederick Gideon, which sets him up as the biggest, baddest villain the show has had so far. That should be very exciting to see.
He was evil before the demon went in him. Terrible. That's double evil.
No, and didn't like the locks too, so he already has a bone to pick with them.
He's going to have problems if he walks around wearing that jacket, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, here's my prediction, I think we're going to pick up in season three because it looks like he's walking into Matheson Academy. I think he's going to be the new history teacher.
I mean, there's a strong chance. And then be like, wow, Josh, you're very hot. Where'd you get those jeans? Wink.
Oh my God.
All right, folks, that is it for season two, but we're not done quite yet. We are going to have at least one more episode for you with a special guest, so stay tuned for that. Wink, wink, wink. And also down the road before season three, we expect that there's going to be a bunch of volumes of Lock and Key. Potentially they'll be published. Lock and Key, The Golden Age, is expected to be published next year. So whenever that happens, we'll definitely check in with that. And of course, any other Lock and Key things, I'll save the phrase for the end, but in the meantime, patreon.com/comicbookclub if you want to support the show and all the shows we do. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to crowdcast.
Sure,
YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Lock and Key. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. At Lock and Key Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, keep it locked. Right here.
There it is.
Another day of work in the bean factory.